are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, for us to get into our purposeful parenting segment, where we're going to be talking about learning from boys in the Bible. So we're trying to connect with Pastor Ngwenya to get us into it. And we want to talk about all these incredible men who were once boys who faced temptation and failure and pressure and destiny, right? From David to Joseph to Timothy, their stories still speak even to this very day, right? What if today's boys had a chance to learn from their journeys, not just the victories, but also the mistakes as well? We want to explore in this conversation how biblical mentorship and boyhood connect with each other. And so joining us on the line, we have Pastor Ngwenya to guide us through this conversation. My pastor, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Well, good morning and how are you? And greetings to all listeners.
Thank you so much for joining us, my pastor. I hope that you're doing well this morning.
God is blessing. We are moving on.
Amen. Amen. Happy to hear that. So, Pastor, we're talking about the boys that we can learn from in the Bible. Let's start with David, Joseph, Timothy. What can boys today learn from these men and their stories?
Oh, thank you so much for bringing that question, directing our attention to lessons that we can pick from these boys. From David, we can learn courage, dependence, or on God. His life is an example of courage and dependence on God. And from 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, the Bible says, "The Lord had sought him a man after his own heart." So what made him a man after God's heart was his courage and dependence on God. Of course, his willingness to confess when he had made an error, when he had missed the mark. So boys can learn to trust God, show courage in adversity, and be quick to seek forgiveness. That's what we can learn from David. Joseph is also another good example for boys, for us boys. We pick lessons from Joseph that we need to flee from temptation. Fleeing from temptation is not a sign of weakness. Rather, it is a sign of strength. So we pick that powerful lesson from Joseph, that we can be men of purity, integrity, and remain loyal to God above all else. Then Timothy, from his childhood, he was nurtured in scriptures, and Paul trusted him for his serious ministry task. So we can pick a lesson from his example to embrace spiritual maturity early and make ourselves available for God's work. I think this is what we can pick from these boys.
Amen. That's beautiful. I think the lesson, especially one lesson that you mentioned about David, about being able to look back and recognize his mistakes and to confess them and make a change, is such an important one. Because oftentimes when we look at young people that we can look up to, people that we celebrate in the faith, we don't like to look at their mistakes. We want to see what they did right, and we uphold all of those. But when we see that, no, even in the mistakes, they were able to look back and say, "I shouldn't have done that," and confess their sins and repent from those sins. They didn't wallow in pity. They didn't wallow in shame and just sit in the fact that, "Oh, I'm just a sinful human being. There's nothing I can do about it." No, they said, there was a proper repentance from that sin. And I think that's a beautiful lesson. Thank you for bringing that up. Now, how do these stories challenge modern ideas of strength, manhood, and identity?
Yes, they are powerful lessons for us, as we redefine masculinity. The world teaches toughness and dominance as manly traits, but the Bible exalts meekness, faith, and moral strength. And yet the world looks at these as weaknesses.
Yes.
But the Bible upholds, uplifts, admonishes us to embrace these. Real strength lies in being spiritually resilient, morally upright, and emotionally honest. That we're honest with our emotions, you know. To many, being honest with your emotions is a sign of weakness. But we learn from Jesus. Jesus wept. Yeah, he expressed sadness and compassion.
Yeah.
Jesus was deeply moved and troubled, which Jesus' empathy and grief made men feel that you shouldn't show it. And then also Jesus expressed joy. There are some men who think when you smile, people will then you know do anything they want.
They
won't
take you seriously.
Then Jesus expressed anger, of course. He also expressed sorrow and anguish, emotional distress. So we're saying expressing emotions, distress, is not a sign of weakness, but it is a sign of strength.
Yeah.
Jesus saw compassion as well. Compassion, which is as tenderness and mercy. You felt frustration, disappointment, sharing your disappointments. It's not a sign of weakness, but a sign of strength. So as we look at these things, we need to learn that these are not it's not a sign of weakness, but a sign of strength.
Beautiful.
Biblical perspective.
Yeah, beautiful. Love that. Now, why is it important for boys to see that godliness and vulnerability can coexist?
Okay, the Bible presents emotion and dependence on God as part of spiritual strength. So I'm saying being honest about struggles draws boys closer to God and to a supportive community. We need support.
Yeah.
Psychosocial support. From 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, we read, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." I think it's a very interesting text that maybe as men we often overlook. Paul says, "For when I'm weak, then am I strong." Acknowledging your weakness, acknowledging your vulnerability, allowing yourself to be vulnerable, it draws you to God, and so it draws you closer to a supportive community. You know, you get support from others when you express yourself, when you embrace these truths.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, when we look at the church and the family, the society at large, how can the church and family create safe spaces for boys to grow spiritually and emotionally as well? Especially having mentioned the fact that society would generally look at some of these traits that the Bible tells us are to be celebrated, the compassion, the vulnerability. We look at those as weaknesses. So how can the church and family create safe spaces for boys to grow spiritually and emotionally in a healthy way?
I think we need to model openness.
Okay.
In the family and in the church. James 5, verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed." So when we demonstrate, model openness, we empower boys.
Yeah.
And then we also need to encourage dialogue. Encourage dialogue. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together," saith the Lord. You know, it teaches men to say, when a woman who is your wife has a different view, you know, has a different point, it does mean that they are disrespecting you. We should learn, you know, to encourage dialogue. Then it can create healthy marriages as well, and healthy communities where men can learn to say, to value conflict, not in the sense of fighting, but in that we can differ.
Yeah.
Difference in opinion.
Yeah.
Doesn't make me your enemy when I differ with you.
Yes.
It doesn't make you my enemy, but it only shows that we are committed to this together. And we desire to see, you know, a better future. We need to thrive on a win-win, where we look at things, look at both sides of the coin, and then come to a conclusion together. So we need to encourage dialogue. And then also mentorship. Okay. Mentorship. It is from 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Things you have heard, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This speaks to mentorship. And then also, we need to create rituals and spaces. Deuteronomy says, speak of them, about these, you know, statutes. When you sit in your home, bind them as a sign. So we need to make our homes a Bethel, a place where our boys can grow, where our boys can learn these important, where we mentor them and show them the way. I think that's what I can share.
So when you talk about mentorship, are you talking about from other older men specifically, or can it be anyone in the society?
Yeah, I think since we're looking at the family and the church, I think all of us senior, you know, members of the church need to accept the responsibility that we need to mentor our young people, mentor boys, you know, empower boys.
Yeah,
it's a responsibility of all of us, you know, the women, mothers, and us men. We need to, you know, model it and demonstrate it.
Yeah, beautiful. Now, having said that, the fact that the older people should be mentoring the younger people, is it possible for boys to also mentor each other, especially rooted in biblical truth? What would that look like?
Yes, I think peer mentorship is biblical.
Okay.
It is rooted in scripture. It for the mentorship that is written in scripture fosters accountability, spiritual growth, and friendship. We have a verse in the Bible in Proverbs 27, verse 17. It says, iron sharpeneth iron.
Yes.
So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So, you know, healthy interactions, you know, they help shape us. Mm. Can learn from each other, encouraging faithfulness, prayer, and service as they grow together. You know, from the Bible, we learn that even at those early stages of development, there are boys in the Bible who demonstrated, you know, that we can embrace a spiritual maturity, faithfulness, and prayer. I remember there's one as early as at 8 years, who was given leadership responsibilities, and he's counted as one of those who led well. So, yes, the boys can mentor each other, iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
I think that's the key. That's the key point.
Yeah. That's beautiful. And so one final thing as we're wrapping up, when we look at the young boys in the Bible and the stories that we see there, how do we use those to inspire young men in a generation that looks down on all of those? So we're living in a world now where there are certain behaviors that have become acceptable in young men. We say boys will be boys. That's just how they are. And even the most destructive behavior were taught, well, that's just how boys are. They'll grow out of it. How do we teach them that the godliness that we see in the Bible can be practiced even from that young age? You talked about, you know, starting off at 8 years old, that God can use you at any age. How do we instill those values in our boys as young boys? And for those who've already gone off the rails and maybe they're in their teenage years or early 20s now and they've already gone off the rails, how do we bring them back to this lifestyle that society is saying, that's weakness. You can't be meek. A man shouldn't be meek. He shouldn't be compassionate. That's weak. Those are feminine traits. How do we teach that to our children from different age groups? And I want to focus especially on those who've already gone the other way.
I think we need a paradigm shift, you know, to encourage them to pick heroes from the Bible, use Bible characters as their heroes, see value in the example that these boys in the Bible left us.
Yeah,
we can do that by, you know, telling these stories. There is power in telling stories. You know, when we communicate values through stories, they stick in the mind.
So
we need to, you know, show them that we can pick our heroes from Bible characters like David, Joseph, and Timothy. And then, as indicated earlier, you know, modeling it, you know, expressing it, is also one of those things that we could. So by embracing their biblical identity, you know, looking at these as our heroes, becoming proud to identify, you know, with these Bible, the boys that we find in the Bible.
Those
that express their vulnerability, you know, and working with faith. So by so doing, we help each other. So we're saying embracing their biblical identity, expressing their vulnerability and working in faith, they are equipped to become men of integrity, compassion, and godly leadership. And I think that's what I can say.
Beautiful, beautiful. My pastor, thank you so much for coming through this morning. I think this is a beautiful lesson, especially for those raising young boys, young men, and also for the young men out there to realize that there are people that you can look to in the Bible who have faced similar struggles to what you might be facing, similar temptations to what you may be facing. But we have these examples to show us how submitting one's life to God can help you to be a real man, not according to what society says, but according to what Scripture says. So that's a beautiful lesson. Thank you so much, Pastor. God bless you.
Thank you so much. May God help us as we choose to make the Bible our rule of faith and practice.
Amen.
And use Bible characters as our heroes.
Amen.
And learn these powerful lessons from them.
Yes.
Bye, thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Have a pleasant day.
You too.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.